Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast, Monday morning podcast, the Monday podcast. It is Monday, but we are so glad to be with you here. I am Shay Elliott, joined by Angela Reed, and we have been, you know, doing our best to save homemaking from the daily grind for 5 years now here on this podcast. We are in season, I don't know, does it matter? I don't think it does, but we are focusing. We are focusing this season, our homemaking efforts, on being soft, not sloppy, and kind of teetering between that wonderful line of soft and sloppy. It's been a funny conversation. I've had a lot of people reach out to me and know exactly what we mean.
Sure. I think it helps to unpack. Let's just unpack it really quick if they haven't caught any of this season. Soft meaning give yourself a break. Not sloppy, meaning still get the job done.
That's right.
Just that right fine line, like not letting it all go to pot just because you need a day off or a week off or whatever, but just being gentle with yourself. And we've talked about how our bodies try to communicate to us through hunger pains and stress. And we've talked about communication. We've talked about entertaining, giving yourself a break, and yet still being a good hostess. And today, I wanted to talk about the garden.
I asked Angela to talk about the garden weeks ago, and she's like, I'm not quite there yet. But spring has finally fully sprung in northern Wisconsin. And so she can join the rest of us now that it's June.
I know. I feel like it's so funny. People on YouTube must think I'm publishing like 6 weeks late. I'm like, no, this is what it really looks like here. Like, you know, I still had daffodils, and like my daffodils just went over. Like,
oh yeah. See, that's
You're
a long time ago here.
Long time ago for you.
Yeah. But in honor of our gardening episode, we both wore our gardening gear. And what I love about this is that we did not plan it, but everybody in my family knows I'm going to stand up for those of you watching this episode on YouTube. I'm going to stand up so that you can see this. Okay.
Both. Yeah. Let me see yours. Is this your old man shirt? Oh yeah, girl.
You can tell this coat is my one piece of clothing that actually has a name. I bought it years ago at a thrift store. It's just an old man, big button up, long, kind of linen-y cotton fabric that I absolutely adore. And his name is Monty.
Love it.
And I'll say, where's Monty? I left Monty outside. He's been left outside many times. You can see he's very sun bleached.
The sun fades.
Very stained, but it is my gardening. I can wipe my nose with it. I can hide stuff in the pockets.
Dirt boogers.
I can get my dirt boogers out.
Okay, this is mine. This is an old sweater of Joel's, and it's ratty up here, and he was going to throw it away. No, you can't throw that away. So here it is, and all its stained glory. I think it's covered in dry shampoo this morning. And I should have grabbed my queen coat. That's what I call mine, and people know this one. It's my green corduroy
coat. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Thin. It's not thick at all, and golly, I love that. But it reminds me of Queen Elizabeth, so...
Your queen coat. I love that.
Funny. We have both British gardeners.
Yes, that is funny. It is funny. I love origin stories when you go back and you think, when did I become this way? Oh, you know, when did I become aware of Monty Don, or when did I become aware of the British gardening scene? I don't quite remember, but
Monty Don is like you, where I knew of you.
Ah,
we had interacted a few times, but like I didn't know you.
Yeah.
And then I remember one day saying, "Do you watch Monty Don?" And I was like, "No, I don't. I should."
You know?
And now he's like one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, British gardening, I got introduced to, well, being that I'm a royalist, I mean, I knew about like that culture, right? Like an Anglophile type thing. But I remember specifically getting, I think I've talked about it on the show before, this American Cottage Gardens book, or British Cottage, English Cottage Gardens book. And I think the introduction and then the closing is Tasha Tudor.
Yes, I know which book you're talking about.
With an American perspective.
Yeah.
That was the book for me where I like was really introduced to this idea of the Cotswolds, the front garden, mass amounts of ladies' mantle. You know, just like I remember getting it at the library decades ago, probably 2 decades ago. And I just was like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
I love this.
Yes.
That little person.
I know, I can see him. Yes. I love people who watch YouTube. They're just like, there are kids that just sneak in throughout these episodes. How dare you close the door, Mom? We've got stuff to talk about. If you are new to gardening, which I don't think a ton of people are at this point who listen to this podcast, but I don't think there's anybody whose gardens have inspired me in quite the same way that Tasha Tudor's gardens have.
Yeah.
You know, I love Monty's, but it's like Monty's are a world away from what Shay, mother of four, who has no help, is going to be capable of.
Right.
And so as much as I enjoy looking at Monty's, the structure and everything, he is this gigantic man with just big body, big hands, big muscles. We're not having the same conversation.
Big budget.
Help. Like, help. And
every time he sticks his spade in the ground and it's like 10 inches of loam, I'm just like, what world?
First off, he does have help. I have seen him talk about this many times in the comments. And people say, how do you do it? How do you do it? And he says, well, of course I have help. What are you talking about? Like, right. Of course I do. We have a small dedicated team. I'm like, well, we have me. So let's just face that. Okay. Right. But Tasha Tudor's gardens, there was a soulful, as much as there can be, a soulful presence in those gardens. And that's when I first realized what gardens can do. And I know there are people who are listening to this podcast who live in an apartment, who live in a basement studio, who don't have a yard, don't have a capacity for a garden. But it's even in that situation, I think it's still wonderful to turn your eyes to gardens. There's a reason that even big cities put in parks and put in community gardens and these kinds of things, so that you can, even in that situation, you could learn flowers and you could learn to appreciate them and you could understand bloom times and see the nature around you in a kind of a different way. But there is something, and I think Tasha did this perfectly. There is something about expanding the soul of your home, you know, past your kitchen door out into the yard in a very unique, individual, beautiful capacity. I think she did that so well.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Like, I was raised on Tasha Tudor. I have a book with like an inscription in the front. It was a 4-year-old birthday present. And it was Tasha Tudor's Four Seasons. Like, my mom raised me on her artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her and then like who was the other one that did the book called Baby Deer? There were like two female artists that did like children's books. And so I always knew about her. My mom never like talked about her garden. So my mom didn't have gardening coffee table books. She had like decor coffee table books, even though she did. I don't know if I would say my mom kept gardens. She kept flower beds. And I don't mean that to be a diss or anything, but like she had a bed full of snapdragons. And then we had a split rail fence out front and she had peony. And then she would do snapdragon like for the next round because peony come first. So, but it was just kind of funny to me that totally knew about Tasha Tudor for so long because it was like a household author, right? And then, but not the gardens until later on in life.
Yeah.
Like cottage or anything like that. So,
yeah. There's lots of wonderful books that you can follow along with, and they're all sort of dated now. You know, Tasha Tudor has died, and so everything that's been photographed of her has been photographed, and now it's starting to age, which is pretty incredible to see, especially with just the way technology's gone. But
Do you have any desire to go there?
Oh yes, I would love to go there. Her family still keeps the home up, still keeps the gardens up, and actually sells little seed packets from there, which is, I think, is really, really special. But what I loved about Tasha Tudor's gardens is that she fully and unapologetically made them hers. And as much as I have opinions about what I like in a garden and what I really strongly dislike, what I like seeing more, even if I don't like it personally, is that like individual creativity and exploration come out in a garden. I would rather see somebody's personality in their garden than see something that's cookie cutter that they don't really love or that they don't really express themselves in, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, here we have like a lot of beautiful lakeside homes, right? With wealth. We have wealth. And so they'll have gardens. And if I go to one of those homes, like I have a friend that clears estates. So when the house goes up for sale and she sells everything and helps them move out of state or whatever. And so I'll get to go to these houses and see these incredible gardens. But they give more like landscaping because they've just been done.
Landscaping.
They're a beautiful space, but they're not anybody's, they're not the homeowner's passion. They've been created because the atmosphere needed, you know, the exterior needed atmosphere. And they're gardens for sure. There's paths and whatever, you know, whatever, but they're not the homeowner's heart and soul poured into it. That makes sense.
That's because it's so much work. It's because it's a billion times easier to have a crew come in and landscape it and then somebody come in and mow it every other Friday. Exponentially easier. I am continually floored at how physical gardening is. It's so physical, especially in the spring.
Yeah. Said my yesterday.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have counted how many stones I moved yesterday. That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
I'm redoing the rock wall on my cottage gardens that like step down into what I call my potager, and they're just full of you know, mice holes and wild garlic and snake dens and everything. So I'm ripping them all down, putting tarp down at the very least to keep the weeds out from in between the rocks. Because, you know, the first couple of years, it was charming. Wild garlic's really beautiful, especially in the winter when you leave the seed pods on and in the fall. I mean, it is structurally, it's gorgeous. It's so invasive, though.
A friend of mine
the other day said, I want wild garlic. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I listen, you're talking to somebody who planted mint. So what do I know about anything?
In the ground you did?
Yeah.
Shay.
Yeah, I did. Listen, if you guys ever learn anything from this podcast, for the love, do not plant mint, and definitely don't plant it in four different places.
Oh my gosh.
So we learn, you know what? We learn, Angela. We learn.
I'm too scared to even sink a pot in.
You know, because they people will say like that's a remedy. So if you don't know what we're talking about, mint is extremely invasive. And that's it. Once it starts, it's over.
I will be pulling it out for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
That I have so this garden.
They'll say to like sink a pot. No.
What's done is done. What's done is done. And here we are, but we're happy to be here. We are happy to be here. So let's say thank you to some of our sponsors. Listen, we talk all the time about Garden House. Garden House is when you go outside and you're living your best life, and then you come inside and you realize the wrath of your family.
Oh, your house was clean when you exited the home and you come in.
Hours later, so much. Tired, sweaty, reach for your branch basics. I have been really working on my attitude about dirty dishes.
Reach for your dry farm. That too.
Reach for your dry farm or reach for your branch basics. Pour yourself a glass of wine and wash your dishes. There you go.
Exactly.
I will say thank you to branch basics first. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to really work on my attitude when it comes to doing dishes because look, the reality is it takes 15 minutes. It's not that big of a deal. So let's not be precious about it, as Monty Don says, and let's just clean our houses. And when you use branch basics, you can just rest assured that you're not only using a hypoallergenic, free of hormone disruptors, free of fragrances, free of any toxic chemicals, just a beautiful plant-based cleaner that most importantly works really, really, really well. There's no scum, there's no film. It cuts things so well, whether you're cleaning your toilet or cleaning your dishes or washing your laundry or scrubbing your floors. And you can use the code HOMEMAKERCHIC to get 15% off your starter kit with branch basics. You got to be stocked so that when you come in and you have Garden House, you are able to take care of things swiftly and effectively. And branch basics can help you do that. Use the code HOMEMAKERCHIC for 15% off your starter kit.
Yay. And pour yourself a glass of dry farm. That's what I did last night. I moved about 500 stones and my neck hurt so bad. And I just thought, I'm going to take a hot bath with a glass of champagne.
I did. Oh my goodness. dryfarmwine.com/homemakerchic.
Get a bottle or get a box of bubbly. Just get three. Treat yourself this gardening season. And they're going to send you an extra one. So you'll get four.
Mm-hmm. I love having bubbly in the fridge after gardening. It's what I want. I want red meat and I want bubbly.
Yeah. I ate a big bowl of mixed nuts, a cheese stick, and a glass of champagne in the bathtub. It's magnificent.
So this is where we are.
Yeah.
What?
We haven't seen each other in 5 years. We should go together.
To go where?
We should go.
Oh, to Tasha Tudor's. That's a good idea.
That's a really good idea.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll talk about that off the air.
All right.
So I know what you like about, you know, her gardens is, I'm looking up pictures while we talk. They're not precious. You know, they're cottage gardens, which is cottage gardens are really dense, and there's a lot of antique varieties of perennials, and seeds fall and bloom and scatter. And I think for any gardener, or I'm going to use words here that are interesting, easier to maintain than a more formal garden.
Oh, for sure.
And because it's like a charming cluttered home, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. I mean, that's kind of this idea. And, you know, I think what's interesting is my gardens are very informal, very Tasha Tudor-esque. Yours are somewhere between Tasha's and Monty's, where you have the cottage garden feel.
Right up by the house. Yeah.
Right up by the house. And then it kind of moves into this more structured piece, you know? Right. So like, yeah. Angela had this wonderful idea this year. So she has this lavender bed and she's using trained apple trees to sort of enclose this lavender patch. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I were to do that on my property, it would look ridiculous. Like it wouldn't fit it at all.
Not even like where your split rail, don't you have a split rail around a vegetable garden or like where the chickens used to be or something like that?
I have a split rail around my herb garden. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. Yeah. So
no, it's just, it's too, your house has a different formality.
Right.
Because in my old orcharding shack, yeah, little home.
Yeah, the main part of my house is kind of, I suppose, like Georgian in shape.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I think if people are gardening and as they're planning it out, this is a really, really important factor. You know, it's like you're trying to not fight nature. What is your home like? Look at Tasha's home. It's this log Vermont cabin.
Right.
That was hand built without any power tools by her son. He did an incredible job. Yeah. And if she would have done, you know, a high end structured British garden around this, I'm sure she would have done it beautiful, but it would have lost some of this magic. So there is a piece of just almost like accepting what is and just saying, this is what's going to be here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same as like interiors. You can't really should complement your architecture inside, you know, mm-hmm. with what you're trying to do. And it would be really silly to have some sort of, you know, Versailles mini chateau look outside of her cottage. That would be
silly.
That would be weird.
I got to tell you one of the most helpful things that I have done lately. Stu used to frame houses when we first got married, and he had this really old leather tool belt, framing tool belt, had all these different pockets and contraptions, really worn in because my old friend had given it to Stuart to begin with. It was like his old framing bags. So they're very old, very worn in. And now I put it on. I never go outside without it on. And I have pruners, scissors, seed packets, twine, like one of those wiry twine ones with the little snippy thing, you know. I got all this good stuff just shoved in my pockets. And you guys, it's so fun. Not only is it fun.
I can't believe you're just saying that. I just said to Joel, do they make like gardener tool belts?
I mean,
a really cute basket that I lug around, but I inevitably set stuff down and then I'm doing the laps trying to. I just said to him yesterday, I'm like, I need like a really comfortable gardener tool belt. And I like what you're saying about it being like worn.
Oh, it's old. No. And all the ones I've seen that are made for gardening, it's like, here's your spot for your pruners. And I'm like, I need 87 more. Thanks. Than that.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I need like military style.
I need militant floral bags, please. I can put my cell phone in there, which is great. Like, all, so you just reach and you learn which things are in which pocket and you can just reach behind you. And I'm telling you, it's just like, it's one of those silly things that's just, I'll send you a picture. I wear them in my YouTube videos all the time because I find them to be so helpful. And then afterwards I take it off and everyone knows like when the belt comes off, mom's done for the day. And I just stash it away in a spot and it's all in one little thing, like the smallest, most ridiculous little pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is about, you know, we talk about little pleasures all the time on the show and there are little pleasures in the garden and especially with tools. I have one of those big grinding stones, you know, for knives and stuff like that. And then I got outside. So I have that outside, but part of it broke. So the kids used to sit on it and pedal it and you can put water in the top and then grind your hoe or whatever and sharpen it. So it needs a little repair right now, but I got a countertop one from an old general store.
Mm.
And It's so cute. It's this little round stone and it has a water tray on the bottom. And so I can take my pruners apart and sharpen them. Oh my gosh. It's just so enjoyable. Because yeah. Like, what's worse than a dull pruners?
Yeah. Sharp. I love sharp pruners. Mm-hmm. I don't have a ton of tools, but I'm telling you what, I love garden gear.
Yeah. Julian goes, I have a favorite tool, right? My little favorite. It's almost like a beet hoe. I don't know. Anytime I go to a barn sale, I call them old man sales. Like I buy all the old garden tools because they're so much better than the new ones. And then if the wood handle cracks, then you can just get a new wooden handle. But I like old garden tools. And I have this little tiny, tiny, tiny hoe. I suppose it's like a beet hoe. But the family knows like that's mom's favorite tool. It makes weeding a pleasure. It's just the best little tool. But I got a new one recently, and even Juju's teasing me. He's like, is this your new favorite tool, Mom? Mm-hmm. It's like a little, almost like a pocket knife. The handle's like 10 inches long. I have a good friend in the community, and her husband passed away, and it was his. Mm. And it's just this beautiful, like, walnut handle. And then there's like 10 inches of knife blade and it's like bread knife. It's serrated.
And it's interesting.
It's like a giant pocket knife. What's it called? Not pocket knife. Is that the word I'm thinking of?
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. Pocket knife. Yeah.
Anyways, wonderful for roses or anything. It's just like having a little saw in your tools and the handle's really thin. So it's not big and clunky. It's not big, like a bone saw type thing or anything. Oh my gosh.
Oh, send me a picture of it, please.
Love it.
Send me a picture of it, please. Does anyone really know what hormones do? Most women are left so confused about what this means for them. Let's leave behind the confusion as we head into the holiday season. An award-winning German nutrition scientist created a powerful herbal formula called Hormone Harmony. This combines 12 powerful adaptogens into one single capsule. Each one of these ingredients is carefully selected based on scientific evidence and has been proven effective in clinical studies for women of various ages and hormonal profiles. Happy Mammoth, the company behind this phenomenal formula, has helped over 2.4 million women get their lives back and feel like themselves again after years or even decades of hormone imbalances. The company surveyed 1,800 women to see how Hormone Harmony helped them, and the results are mind-blowing. 86% of women started losing weight, 77% say it improved their mood, and 100% said they're feeling like themselves again. Hormone Harmony has over 50,000 raving reviews from women all over the world, with 98% of them saying that they'd gladly recommend it to their friends and family. You can try Hormone Harmony risk-free and get 15% off your first order with code HOMEMAKERCHIC, all one word, at checkout.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
So, Stu and I have been talking a lot. I think we've all established, I think out loud. Okay. So it's a problem, but it's just the way the Lord made me. So here we are. So Saturday morning rolls around and I'd gotten all these work emails and I was kind of overwhelmed before the day even started. Mm-hmm. When I'm a grown up, I will have a work email and a personal email and I will shut them, figure out how to shut certain ones off at certain times, but I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. Anyway. And so we talked a lot about how there's no arrival of organization. There's no arrival of like well, look, isn't the garden perfect? Isn't my life perfect? Aren't my kids perfect? Isn't my bank account perfect? Mm-hmm. And I think that's almost this, not just lie we've been told, but really this false ideal that we think when we're adults, all of these things will happen. And then you become an adult and you realize you're just a more wrinkly 19-year-old in most ways. So we talked about how we really have to work on letting go of this idea of, oh, and now we're done with this. Mm. And now we're done with this. Oh, look, now we have finally just got everything figured out and life is just going to be golden until the finish line. And Stuart said to me, thank God we have our gardens, because you can sit inside and just stew and stew and stew. And most homemakers know this feeling where you're just walking around your house. You're not really being productive. You're not really sure what to do. You're kind of off. You're not feeling right. Something's just, you're kind of right. You're snappy. You're unsettled. And then you go outside and you watch a robin, or you see something that's in bloom, or you see something that's ready for harvest. So on this particular Saturday, I go outside with my basket. Don't really know what for. I know I don't have the time to sink into actually working in the garden. So I just start pacing around, going around, seeing what I can see. Mm-hmm. And I realized and remembered that spring is the best time to gather up raspberry leaves. And they're at their most potent in the mid to late spring, which is what we're at now. So I take my basket and I just start gathering up all these raspberry leaves for tea, because we often will freeze dry them and make these big batches of raspberry leaf tea, and it makes delicious iced tea. It tastes like black tea. It's fantastic. So anyway, I harvest these raspberry leaves. We brew this big batch of raspberry leaf tea, and I'm out there for maybe 5 minutes gathering these leaves. And I don't take stuff like this, but I imagine it was like taking like an antidepressant. It was like all of a sudden everything that was up here went down here. What is that? How can it do that?
It's proven that it's as strong as an antidepressant, haven't they? Is there,
I don't know,
actual, like in the last year, scientific research about gardening and depression? I mean, I know they always say, but I think it's like, gosh, I feel like I just heard about a legit study.
Hmm.
Because it's true. It's sort of, you know, when something is sad in your life and you wake up and you can't remember, and you're like, wait, I'm sad about something, or
really
by something, or stressed about something.
Yes.
And so you can tell it's just been pushed down, right? Well, that's what happens to me in the garden. Like I'll go out there and I'm in a contemplative state, maybe thinking about the thing. And then it's gone. It like dissipates.
Yeah.
With the whatever task I'm doing. And I'll think, so time will go by and I'll think, what was I stressed about?
Mm-hmm.
What was that? What was that again?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to like wait for it to come back up.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't believe how it suppresses, mm-hmm. how it gets suppressed.
I know a lot of people listen to this podcast while they're gardening, but, and I want you to listen to it, please, and share it with your friends, please. But I have been really strategic about not listening to anything when I garden. And what I have found, I don't practice meditation in like the way that we think about meditation, but I know enough about it to know that they say to actually not try to direct your thoughts, to actually just let your thoughts, like water, whatever needs to be thought, just think it. Okay. Like let it go like a leaf. You just, okay, now watch it go down the river. Okay. Now another thought. Now watch it go down the river. Now another thought. What I found is when I'm gardening, and I'm not listening to anything, no music, no podcasts, no sounds other than just my thinking, bird sounds, whatever, dogs barking. Your mind does that. It's almost like it's purging or cleansing. And so oftentimes I'll think about something totally obscure, like somebody I haven't seen in 30 years or this weird thing that happened in second grade or, you know, just like the most ridiculous things. But what's fascinating now is obviously my mind needed to churn through these things for some reason. And I can look at my garden and see something that's planted, see something that's weeded, and remember what I was thinking about when I did that thing. I can't remember what I did yesterday.
Huh.
But there is something mentally that's going on. That's, it's like giving your brain space. You are literally creating space to say, my body's busy. Mind, do what you need to do. And like almost just letting it come over you, which is, how often do we get to do that? I'm thinking ironing, I suppose, is like another task where you're just, when your mind, your body's kind of doing this, I don't know, menial work, not menial, that's not the right word.
Repetitive.
Repetitive?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And walking.
Walking. Yeah.
Not lifting, because when I'm lifting, I'm really engaged with my body.
Yeah.
Present with my body, but walking, it's just like I'll do that with walking and with gardening. So I do like to listen to things in the garden because I don't wear earbuds anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't for a couple years now, and so I don't get a chance to, like, I don't listen to audiobooks in the kitchen, you know, because, or while I'm cooking or whatever, because everybody can hear it. Nobody wants to listen to that. No, you know, nobody wants to listen to my podcast or my books or whatever. So That's a place out there where I can listen to things and not bother people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I will also go, okay, now, or I'll start with quiet.
Yeah.
Quiet for a half hour or an hour. And then your treat will be that you get to, but like, just let your brain, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Just let it go. Blah.
Yeah.
That's stuff exactly to think about. And, you know, perhaps like, look, there's not ever really time to garden. You know, it's like working out. It's like, you're just going to make it or you're not, You know, but it is one of those, we've been at our house for 10 years now, and I'm blown away. When we moved in, it was just grass. Just,
I know. When I look out, I'm like, this was all grass.
That's
and
it.
And trees.
Yeah. It's wild now to see what you can create. So imperfectly, you guys. I was just telling Angela of all the things I, you know, wouldn't have planted or maybe would have done a little bit differently or would have gotten right the first time as opposed to taking 5 or 6 times to try to get it right. Mm-hmm. You don't know these things until you actually do them. I mean, you had done the gardens at 2 other houses prior to doing your gardens at this house. This is my first one. This is the only like gardens I've ever put in. And so much of it happened unintentionally. And I think, again, as in there's no arrival, there's no formula. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. And so it's trial and error. It's getting in there and just doing it. Just doing it. And look, there used to be these garden magazines, and that was really the only place that you saw these incredible gardens. I think we made people a little bit less scared to just try.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with like home design. People weren't afraid to just try because so what?
Right.
Now it's a little bit different because I think people feel maybe a little bit more under a microscope, right? Because people can see you, they can see your first attempts at a garden or your first attempts at design or your first attempts at baking bread or your first attempts at parenting. Right. It's a little bit more intense, I suppose. But, and that's one of the reasons I love coffee table books. They move at a pace that makes sense to me.
I love coffee table books. Mm-hmm. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Tasha Tudor's Gardens. That's a book I read probably twice a year. Probably twice a year in late February when I'm really sad. And then usually in July when I'm like a little worn down by the work. It's really, 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 really hot here in July. Everything has taken on a different form slightly. And I have to remind myself that, like, no, you need to get out there and soak up every stupid petal that you can.
Bless you.
Oh, bless me. Let's say thank you to our other Homemaker Chic sponsors. Tubes and Co. is where you should go for sexy and simple and luxurious skincare. And that's exactly what it feels like when you wash your face with the Sea Buckthorn cleansing oil, which works so well. And then you put on that glow serum and you use your Gua Sha stone and you move that inflammation out of your face. And then you can use that wonderful primer that they make. There are so many clean, incredible products that Emily has formulated. And you can visit tubesandco.com and use the code HMC10 for 10% off. I always encourage people to look at the ingredients of Tubes & Co. products before they buy them, because you're going to see ingredients like cold-pressed olive oil and grass-fed tallow. No synthetic chemicals, no toxins, no fillers, no artificial colors, no artificial fragrances at all. We had Emily on the podcast years ago. And she was telling us and explaining to us all the different labels that ingredients could go under. And if you saw aqua, water, as the first ingredient in a product, the only way to keep that really stable is by using actually lots of preservatives. They know people don't like that, so they don't just say preservatives on the label. So you can go back and listen to that episode if you want to learn a little bit more. But tubesandco.com is where you can find not only natural skincare with incredible ingredients, but also makeup as well. So blushes, toners, eyeshadows, eyeliners, mascaras, foundations, powders, you name it, they have it. And you can use the code HMC10 for 10% off your purchase with Tubes & Co.
Yay. I would like to say thank you to American Blossom Linens. You can visit them at AmericanBlossomLinens.com. And remember this easy peasy code for this season. It's SOFT20 for 20% off. So if you are ready to stock your linen closet with heirloom quality cotton grown here right in the United States, made here right in the United States, this is who you should partner with. Shay and I, both of our beds are dressed in American Blossom, our children's beds, our linen closets, beds, blankets, baby blankets, yummy baby things for all those baby showers you're getting invited to this summer. Visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com. Use the code SOFT20.
I have been feeling and trying to channel that softness that we've been talking about this season into the garden. With regards, I know you had an absolute throwdown work day yesterday out in your garden, and those are necessary, especially in the spring. But now that we've kind of passed that main push weeks ago, and just like in the home, I try to remind myself that, you know, this whole like progress over perfection, consistent action over the course of many days does result in good things. And these are things we talk about on this podcast all the time. And they're true for laundry. They're true for working out. They're true. Like, it is about you showing up consistently. It is about that. And I've tried to channel that into the garden this year because life has gotten pretty busy for us. And it's, I don't like saying that just nonchalantly. It's not something I particularly love, but what I have found is that while I don't necessarily have like 9 hours to throw down on every Saturday, I can usually carve out 45 minutes or an hour a day to just go outside, clear my head, get some fresh air, soak in some sunshine, do a little bit of work, and actually make progress. And that's what's sort of surprising me, is that softness actually can make progress.
Yeah, I think that's where the softness comes in, is just looking at it and accepting you cannot do all the things at once. And when you're working in this bed, the weeds in that bed are growing. While you're watering this plant is drying out. Like, it just, that's just part of it. That is gardening. I mean,
gardening is, it's like what you were saying, it is like homemaking, where it's not the final result. It's the task and the act of gardening. And just there is a softness just to going out, doing what you can do, and in your mind, giving yourself a break.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't be in all the beds at all the same time. You can't be doing all the things at the same time. And just having maybe just a softness in your mind, in your heart as a gardener, like, I'm taking care of my garden. I'm mm-hmm. just one person, and it's not about perfection. It's about the fact that I enjoy taking care of my garden.
Didn't we do an episode on that last year about how it's not called gardened? Yeah, I gardened. No, it's like, it's gardening. It's gardening. And if you're only gardening for the end result and you want it to just hold there, then really we're kind of talking about landscaping.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
A little bit more so. Sure. I'll tell you what, my life would be probably about 80% easier in the garden if I wasn't convinced that I should not use chemicals.
I've had this conversation with myself about 80 times in the last. Every project we're
doing. Damn those right principles.
Is because of our stupid principles. It's like, this will be revealed on YouTube in over the coming weeks, but we're, and I'm already sort of like not dreading the comments. Everybody has opinions, you know. I know some people are going to think I'm crazy, but I'm getting rid of all the grass paths in my garden. I cannot spend the first 4 weeks of every gardening season hoiking grass that's grown over the winter under the snow out of my beds. It has to stop. It's not, you know, I'm going to be gardening when I'm 70 and 75 and 80 and Tasha Tudor. Like, it has to be doable. So, and really, that was the initial design I had in my head anyways. I wanted gravel. So we're doing that. And it's a ginormous undertaking. And we're putting in a sprinkler system. So first we have to dig that and put down the tarps to kill the grass and then do the gravel. But I'm just out there thinking, dang it, if I could just nuke this, like me taking down my rock wall and redoing it. If I could nuke it with Roundup, I wouldn't have to take this stupid rock wall apart and tarp underneath it. Mm-hmm. But I can't. Those mm-hmm. are my dumb principles.
I know. But then you see like the bumbles, you know, the bumbles that are like as big as hummingbirds.
I love those.
And I'm like, just hang on, buddy. I'm going to create a little safe haven for you. Right, like,
exactly.
I don't think I expected that piece of gardening when I started, right? You think you're doing it for yourself. You do not expect to
care about pollinators.
Oh,
your little friends.
I see them and I'm like, we're here, buddy. What you want? We want some more of this? I'll plant some more. I'll plant some more for you. Don't worry. Right. They do. They become such a part of the conversation, which I love. But the principles, those are tough things for the gardener. I'll tell you one thing too that's been really helpful to us this season is recognizing, again, in that like soft vein on things. I talked about this a lot on my YouTube channel about feeling like we were entering a different season. And so we decided to tarp 3/4 of our vegetable garden and just do a little corner garden of some of our favorite things. And it's incredible how much time it has freed up. Vegetables always took priority, right? Because it's food. You don't want to waste it.
Mm-hmm.
And so any time that we could weed, any time that we could plant, harvest, preserve, it was all consuming to grow as much food as we did. And I'm so grateful that I know how. Mm-hmm. And the beds are still there for in the future. But it was, I say this in case somebody is listening and feeling like, I love my gardens. I totally get what you guys are talking about, but I'm overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And to that, I would just say, I think there's days of overwhelm for the gardener, like your day yesterday, maybe not overwhelmed, but just brutal,
mm-hmm.
brutal days for the gardener. That's different than sort of chronically being in a state of, I can't do this. I can't get this done.
Yeah.
At which point, like you said, you want to remember that you actually like to garden. You actually like this. And you like the result of it too. You want to see the result of it too. And if you haven't found yourself like that for a while, as Monty would say, don't be precious about it. Don't be precious about it.
Yeah. So something I've learned from him, and I just started watching this season a few weeks ago of Gardener's World. Because I like to sync it up with, usually if I start it at a certain time, I can sync it up right with Northern Wisconsin. So he's doing the things that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I like it, right? But something I've just learned from him as somebody who just likes to rip off, take a bite out of life and just go for it on all fronts, right? Is he's just so pragmatic and so matter of fact. And he might have emotions behind off camera, you know, when mm-hmm. his box died and things like that, or when he has to rip mm-hmm. something out and start over, when his garden floods, you know. But I've just learned from him to take things a bit more in stride and do what needs to get done for the garden. So that is mm-hmm. why we're doing, that is one of the sort of motivators or influencers behind this huge push we're doing to sort of get a handle on what we've created. Like, we have to put in a deer fence, a real one, not a cute, charming, giant wattle fence that we made from the forest. Like, we have to put in a real fence because they're just getting in all the time. We have to do sprinklers because Door County is in a constant drought year after year, and we have 6 inches of topsoil. And the wind just whips through my garden and it just dries out. Well, you can watch it dry out. You know? And we have to put in the gravel because the mm-hmm. wild oregano is so invasive, blah, 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 blah. So all that, with those are three huge projects that mm-hmm. have to get done like in the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, we took the back of the house, which was all, that was the original garden for the people that used to have this house years ago. And it was just all overgrown and terrible. And we did like 2 layers of cardboard on the whole thing, put in 5 little raised beds. And I like the back of the house because it's more cottagey. It's one story and it's just a totally different vibe than the front of the house. But those darn principles again, the weeds have come through the cardboard so bad up into the raised, it is, I cannot take care of it right now. And there's no way I can give the front garden the attention that it deserves this year and maintain my cutting garden in the back. So I'm going to tarp the whole thing. And I'm hoping that will help kill the weeds, even if I tarp it for a year.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that does the trick.
Yeah.
It's going to be ugly, that I will see black tarp when I look out my windows. But I'm going to tarp the pea gravel and not the hoop house up and everything because, number one, the weeds need to die. Number two, I cannot do both this year.
Yeah.
And I'm really like, I'm totally okay with it because I'm so excited about doing the right thing.
That's a lot of training for the soul right there, for the homemaker. You know? What's that old like refrigerator magnet? Like what's popular is what's popular is not always right. What's right is not always popular or something. The same could be said for like what's easiest is not actually what's easy. And what's easy is not always easiest. Does that make sense? For the gardener, it's like there's a lot there of just doing the hard thing. Imagine that. Doing the hard thing. And interestingly, the hard thing in this case is actually the soft thing for you, for your spirit. Like that's what's actually making you have some peace this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I haven't mm-hmm. done it yet. It just looks so bad. Like the two beds of tulips did their thing and they were great. And
yeah,
I had tulips and, you know, for, it's my cutting garden. That's what I use the back garden for.
Yeah.
We see it. Like that's where we spend time. That's where the pool is. And, but I just, my goodness, if I could go back and no offense to the cardboard method, love it, but it was not enough.
yeah. the level of weeds we were dealing with back there.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. Okay, we have to leave people with something beautiful.
Okay.
Something beautiful. Let's see. No matter where you are, you would still have time to plant some cosmos in your garden, which are a wonderful cottage flower. Could not be easier to grow. Ours self-seed, we let them go to seed and they just re-sow themselves every year.
Fabulous.
So those could be a wonderful thing if you still have a little bit of time in your garden. What are you particularly, I know you things haven't quite bloomed for you yet, but mm-hmm. what are you particularly enjoying this year?
Well, the cottage garden's really full. I mean, the iris are just getting like bigger and bigger.
You know, yeah.
Maybe four big clumps of them out there. They're going to go probably next week. The peony are going to go next week. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the maturity of it. Like it's 7 or 8 years old this year. And I look out there and I'm like, oh, we are just getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And a few more trees.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
this is going to be something. Mm-hmm. And I'm enjoying all the hard work I did last fall. Because it made this spring so much easier. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, I like that maturity too. It's you don't have that same exhilaration that you have when you're first putting a garden in, right? Like, oh, I'm going to do this. And you get to go buy stuff and pick stuff out and make it happen. Like that's its own particular thrill.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the maturing comes, it's like the embers of a fire. You know, it's a deeper burn in a really good way,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
I love that. Well, ladies, we wish you well in your gardening in the coming weeks and, be kind to yourself, create beautiful things. This is just, I don't know. There's such a pleasure. There's such a pleasure to be had, even if you don't consider yourself a gardener, some beautiful thrifted terracotta pots and
if
couple.
You're not a gardener, go bless someone who is by asking to see their garden.
Oh, there you go.
I never get to show anyone my garden. I'm sure someone would love to show you their garden.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say, if you're not a gardener, you should become one.
Well, that.
If you're not a gardener, you're wrong and you should become one. No, just kidding.
You want as much dirt under your fingernails.
I'm teasing. Yeah.
Mine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If you want more garden content, both Angela and I are posting a lot about our gardens on our YouTube channels because tis the season. So if you want to visually check out what it is we're talking about, then Angela's channel is Parisian Farm Girl on YouTube. Mine is the Elliott Homestead. So there's, I don't know, 15 or so years worth of varying qualities of videos throughout those channels and various stages of gardens. You can see back to the very beginnings of things. So plenty of garden material for you there. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
All right, ladies. Yes, we'll see you next Monday. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.